continue with our message. And hey, by the way, kids, don't feel bad if you got those names confused. Because did you know the Martin Luther King Jr. that we know so well in America was, well, he was named for his father, I guess, Martin Luther King Sr. But he was named for Martin Luther the Reformer because his parents wanted to recognize, wow, the wonderful gift of grace that Martin Luther recognized, recovered from the words of Scripture. So that's a good thing. All right. Well, for all of us now in our message, welcome back now to who we are. Just to remind you where we're at. Right now we're digging into some of those beliefs, some of those practices, some of those things that we do that make us uniquely Christian, uniquely Lutheran. And this is important for us because we know the world around us is always changing. And we individually and we together, we're changing in response. You know, just an examples. We change our habits when a road near us is closed, right? We start driving a different way. Or we change our attitudes when we encounter a new point of view or a new person who shares that with us. We maybe change our minds when we've been convinced by someone else's good argument, right? And so we change in response to our world, and that's good, actually. Change is not a bad thing. As the church, it's actually important for us to change because we always need to discover new ways of sharing the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ with the culture, the people around us, and to say that in ways that people understand. We need to change. We need to look for new opportunities to apply all the teachings that Jesus has given to us, new ways to apply that in our lives and in our community. We need to look for new people with whom to share that good news. But as we change, it's also important that we don't lose sight of who we are. Because who we are is the people of God. We're the people of God living in the world. We're the people of God living for the world. And so we're all about the gospel. We're all about grace and forgiveness and new life found in Jesus Christ. We're all about God's word and sacrament, which are these places where God has promised that he'll be, and his work is done there in us. Last week, we heard with Pastor Larry Marino how we're all about sharing that good news of Jesus Christ. And so these are things that make us who we are. Jesus is at the center of all we are, all we do, all we believe. We see God through word and sacrament. Evangelism, these are things that define who we are. And that's where we've been the last few weeks. Next week, I'll just look forward a moment. Next week, I'll mention is All Saints Sunday. And that's a day we remember the Christians who have gone before us in faith, who are now at rest in heaven. And next week, we'll see how tradition shapes who we are, how we don't take those people and their contributions for granted and forget about them, but we follow in their footsteps. But today is Reformation Sunday, so today is a great day to talk about one particular teaching we have that helps make us who we are. This is one of the really distinctive teachings that came out of the Reformation, both for Lutherans and other Protestants. It's a big change. It was a big departure from the way the Roman Catholic Church at the time thought about things. And so what we're talking about today is, well, we call it the doctrine of vocation. Don't let your eyes glaze over because I mentioned the word doctrine. We're talking about theology. This is really important for us today because here's what it means for you. You matter. Your life matters. And everything you do has meaning, from waking up in the morning to maybe making breakfast for yourself, for your spouse, for your kids, watching out for your neighbors next door, helping out friends and family, caring for them, going to work and working hard, and more. You know, I can sum it up this way. God has given you a divine and holy call to live an absolutely ordinary, normal life. And in fact, that is how God works in this world, to protect, to preserve, to provide for the world. Can you believe that? It's true. So let's dig into this. We'll start with a little Reformation history because this is Reformation Sunday. In the medieval world, in medieval Europe, I should say, the Roman Catholic Church had a very different idea of ministry than we do today. In the medieval Roman Catholic Church, who did the work of the church? Who did the work of ministry? Do you know? It was clergy, right? It was priests, and maybe not just clergy, but also professional religious people, nuns and monks and folks like that. You see, the medieval Roman Catholic Church taught that, well, only certain people were qualified and able to do really good works. The lives of ordinary people didn't count for that much, actually. If you wanted to do good and important things, you needed to be clergy, or you needed to be a monk, or you needed to be a nun, part of a religious order. And then if you did that, you would spend all of your time praying, reading religious texts, or maybe you would spend all of your time celebrating Mass, holding religious worship services, even in empty churches. And this is how they defined real ministry then, was religious professionals doing religious works that were all about enhancing my status before God. In fact, they even taught that the church could take all of those religious people's good works, those extra good works they did, because they did more than they themselves needed for salvation. They taught the church could transfer their extra merit to you, so that then you could have the benefit of all these good works these religious folks, religious professionals were doing. And so, of course, as Chris mentioned in our kids' message, the church decided to put those good works on sale. And that's how they justified the selling of indulgences, which basically amounted to people paying for forgiveness of sins from the church. And so when Martin Luther came along, well, not only did he attack the whole idea that we could pay for forgiveness, which he did, not only did he attack the idea that our salvation depended upon human good works in the first place, Martin Luther also pointed out, and this went with those first two points, Martin Luther also pointed out that ordinary Christians matter. Martin Luther actually, he went so far as to say that ordinary Christians living absolutely ordinary lives are doing more good in the world than all of the monks and nuns and priests put together, because those ordinary Christians were doing the good works, the good things that God had actually commanded them to do. They were caring for their families. They were loving their neighbors. They were doing good and useful work that built up the people around them. And so what Martin Luther taught them was that we all matter. We all have a place in the life of the church. We're all needed and valued here. And you know, we often need that reminder today too, because sometimes we kind of go back to that old way of thinking. We don't go, you know, back to the full-blown, the medieval Roman Catholic theology, but sometimes we still go back to placing clergy at the very center of the church's ministry. You know, sometimes we get this idea and we tend to think of clergy as like professional Christians, the people who do the Christian life really right, and that's what we pay them to do, but that's not what Scripture teaches us. Sometimes we think of clergy also as the directors of ministry, as if you know, the pastor in the congregation is the one who tells everyone else what to do and says, hey, like, you all go over here, you all go over there, that sort of thing, right, as directors. But that's not what Scripture teaches either. You know, as much as it would feed my own ego to be the center of this church, the truth is that that is not what Jesus desires for our life together. Because Jesus has forgiven each of us. Jesus has made each of us new through the waters of baptism, through the word. And Jesus is doing this work of sanctification in each of us. It's a theological word that just means that Jesus is making us more holy. Jesus is helping us to become more and more the kind of people that he wants us to be. And what Scripture really teaches us is that every one of us takes part in the ministry of the church. Every one of us does good work in the lives of our families and our friends and our neighbors. So let's take a look at our Scripture reading today, and we're going to have a little lesson in English. So here, the Apostle Paul, in our Scripture reading, he's giving instructions to the Christian church in Ephesus. And Paul he's basically telling them, now that you've become Christians, here's what your new life is supposed to look like. So let me read, starting at verse 22. Paul says, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." Let me ask you, have you ever been to Texas? And this will become relevant, I promise. Raise your hand. Have you ever been to Texas? Visited? Is anyone here from Texas originally? Like, you were born there? Oh, cool. Maybe one or two. That's awesome. How do they speak in Texas? Y'all. I'm glad we got it. Yeah, that one word that we associate with the state of Texas more than any other is y'all. In the state of Texas, y'all, just it means you all, right? It's you plural. So if I'm speaking to a group of people like I am now, I can say, I'm glad y'all are paying attention. You raised your hands when I asked you about Texas. That's a wonderful thing. If you want to add some emphasis to the fact that you're talking to a group of people, you can add all. You can make it all y'all, right? Hey, all y'all better be paying attention to the preacher because you are in church and Jesus is watching, right? Thanks. If you want to make it possessive, you can say y'alls. I can say, hey, all y'all's church, it's pretty nice. I think I'll come back, right? You hear that accent getting in, huh? It's a pretty flexible word. Now, would you believe me if I told you that the state of Texas is actually preserving a piece of the English language that the rest of us have lost? It's true, they are. It's this plural you, y'all. We don't have a y'all in the rest of the English-speaking world, in modern standard English. This is one of those weird facts about modern English that makes us miss some important details when we're reading or hearing something that's been translated from another language, because most languages, including the Texan language, include this plural you. We have one word, you, that we use in lots of situations. I can talk to you singular. I can talk to you as a group, you plural. I can say I did something to you or that you did something to me. You flip between subject and object, things like that. And if that just went over your head, all you need to know is that this English word you, it actually hides a lot of detail. And it's detail that we might miss, but Texans don't. And it's detail that Paul, who wrote this letter, he put it there in the Greek language, which was the original language of the New Testament. And so what we miss when we read this letter in modern standard English today is that every single time Paul says you in this statement to the Ephesians, Paul is really saying y'all. That's right, the Apostle Paul was Texan. Not really. But if we would read this passage of Scripture in the Texan language, it would become so clear to us that the ministry of the church is something that all of us do. We can read verse 17. Paul says, I tell y'all this and insist on it in the Lord that y'all must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. Or jump down to verse 20. That is not the way of life y'all learned when y'all heard about Christ and were taught him in accordance with the truth that's in Jesus. Y'all were taught with regard to y'all's former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of y'all's minds and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And Paul goes on, he says, well, y'all don't lie, but speak truthfully. Y'all don't hold on to anger. Y'all don't steal, but, you know, work at something useful so that y'all might have something to give, to share with those in need. Y'all should say things that build one another up. Don't say unwholesome things, he says. Y'all get rid of bitterness and rage and fighting and hatred from your life together. And at the very end, Paul says why he gives these instructions to each and every one of us. Y'all be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another just as in Christ God forgave y'all. And this makes it clear. The ministry and the work of the church belongs to each and every one of us. Because in Jesus Christ, God forgives each one of us. In Jesus Christ, God renews and restores each one of us. Each one of us already has the Holy Spirit living within us. He's there to equip and empower and encourage us to live lives of holiness. And more than anything else, this is what that, bring it back around, vocation means for you, is that you matter. And what you do, how you live as a child, a friend, a parent, a grandparent, an employee, or a boss, as a citizen, as a public servant, or a private sector worker, or whatever you do, the things you do matter. They matter for the work of the church and the life of the church together. Now, one more thing I have to say about this. You might have read through that scripture reading and in Texan and thought, okay, I get that Paul is saying these things to all of us, okay? But is Paul really talking about ministry here? Because, well, it seems like he's talking about things that apply to me in my everyday life. Paul is talking about honesty, living peacefully. He's talking about industry and kindness and compassion. He's not talking about Bible studies. Can we really call these things the ministry of the church? Well, that's a great question. I'm glad you asked it. The answer is yes. Because, you see, the flip side of this doctrine of vocation is that, well, every Christian gets to take part in the ministry of the church, right? Well, that doesn't mean, suddenly, that every Christian is doing the things that pastors do. Not every Christian leads worship, like a pastor does. Not every Christian preaches, like a pastor does. Not every Christian does the thing that clergy do. When we're talking about vocation, we're not saying that every Christian suddenly starts doing everything that pastors do, because that's still a special role within the church. It's still a gift of God to the church to give his church pastors. When we talk about vocation, what we really mean is that the things you're already doing in your everyday life are just as much Christian ministry as are the things that pastors do in church. When you care for your family, waking your kids up, feeding them, changing diapers, praying around the table, showing your kids or your grandkids that you love them. That's Christian ministry. That is the work that God is doing in this world through you. Or when you go to work, no matter what you do, and you show your coworkers, your employees, or maybe your employer, that you're honest, that you work hard, that you care about their livelihood too, that's Christian ministry. That's the work of the church being done through you. And when you care for your neighbors and friends, when you spend time in your community, when you live with integrity, when you encourage others in the Lord, when you live at peace with the people around you, when you show compassion to those in need, those things are Christian ministry. That's the work of the church being done through you. So God has given you a divine and a holy call to live an absolutely normal life. And on my job as a pastor, it's not more, it's not less important than the things that God has given you to do. But my job is just to equip y'all to do the good work that God has already given you to do, to teach the words of Scripture, to encourage you to live absolutely normal lives because your lives matter. In Christ, your lives have eternal significance because y'all are the church. You live in the world. You live for the world. And people get to know Jesus through y'all. Amen. Let's stand.